Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio on Tuesday morning. So two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. And very, very thrilled to welcome this next guest to the show. He's a legend. He's a true legend. One of the founding members and vocalist and bass player of the legendary band X, John Doe, who is also an author and an actor and all kinds of other stuff. They're playing, X are playing tomorrow night, Wednesday, June 26th at City Winery, and tickets are on sale at citywinery.com. And his new book is called More Fun in the New World. And I am thrilled to welcome John Doe to the show. John, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Good, man. Good, good, good. Honored. So honored to have you on the show, man. Really.
What? I hope I live up to it. That's a lot of legendary and a lot of honored and thrilled and stuff like that.
It's
a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure, man.
I'm glad to have you on. And are you originally from Decatur, Illinois, here?
That's where I was born.
Yeah.
I think I lived there 6 months and then moved to Tennessee.
Oh, and you moved to Tennessee. Okay. All right. Yeah. Do they ever describe you as Decatur's own, John Doe?
I don't know. I have to go there and see if there's a plaque somewhere. We'll see. I think if anybody can claim me, it would be Baltimore, because that's where I really grew up from.
Yeah.
You know, like third grade up until I went through school and, you know, a little bit of college and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about how the band got together.
Oh God, ancient history. In 1977, Billy and I answered each other's ads in a free paper, classified paper called The Recycler. It wasn't free. You had to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Exene at a writing workshop around the same time, and then it took, about 8 months for us to find DJ Bonebreak to play drums.
Yeah.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. And it's amazing you guys are still playing together. There aren't a lot of bands from that era that are still together. And you guys you're going to be here in Chicago tomorrow night.
Yeah, same members, all original. I mean, I think Los Lobos could claim somewhat the same thing. There's a few, but it's far between. We're kind of the last punk rock band standing.
Yeah. Well, that's God bless you, man.
Mm-hmm.
It says here in I got a bio in front of me that says John Doe was born in 1977 when he arrived in Los Angeles. Can you kind of expound on that?
Sure. I mean, I was of a certain age, very influenced by Andy Warhol, and I grew up, like I said, in Baltimore. Also, was friends with John Waters and the whole idea of taking a pseudonym to be, you know, whoever you not were born, but what you were meant to do. So
yeah.
I also loved the movie that Gary Cooper was in called Meet John Doe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, plus I have a kind of unpronounceable Czech name, and I thought, what the hell, I'll be John Doe.
Yeah. And
easy to spell.
When you got out there, what was it? Had you ever been to Los Angeles before that in 1977?
Actually, a friend of mine and I went out there in March of 76, and then I moved there permanently in the beginning of November of 76. So 77 is when, you know, things really started to happen.
Yeah. I want to get into your book as well, More Fun in the New World. But I want to talk a little bit about that punk scene in the 80s. I mean, what was it like? What was the energy like at that time?
Well, the punk scene started in L.A. and 76, beginning of 77. So, you know, this book is the second 5 years, you know. We had a book out in 2016, and that was Under the Big Black Sun.
Right.
And that was the first 5 years. That was like 77 to 82. The next one is 82 to 87. So by that time, you know, people were starting to get signed to record companies, and we got signed from Slash to Elektra, and the Go-Go's were, you know, top 10, and there were other people like Lone Justice, which are represented in the book.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, getting produced by Jimmy Iovine and stuff like that. fairly soon after they started. So things got, you know, big fast.
Yeah.
You know, after a slow start, you know, when I say fast, it's like we'd been playing since 77. It wasn't until 82 that we got signed to Elektra. But in the meantime, you know, we had two records out on Slash Records, which is a really small indie, independent distribution as well, which was totally frustrating.
Mm.
But in L.A., you know, in the Midwest, we were drawing maybe 300 to 500 people, but in L.A., we could draw 5,000 or 6,000. So it was pretty, you know, pretty schizophrenic, like,
yeah.
who am I? But that's, you know, it still sort of happens.
And this book, the latest, I mean, because the other one was called Under the Big Black Sun, and this is the follow-up, More Fun in the New World. This is all-encompassing, man. You have so many contributions from so many important artists from that era and mm-hmm. beyond. Was it easy to get these people involved and to write for the books and stuff?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think, you know, people like to tell their story. If you're at a dinner party and you say, so what do you do, or what turns you on? You know, people like to talk about themselves a little bit. And it became clear that somebody's going to tell the story, so why shouldn't it be us? Or why shouldn't it be you? You know, we had to do a little convincing of a few people. But, you know, Luis Perez from Los Lobos and then we, you know, and Charlotte Caffey and Jane Wheedlin of the Go-Go's. And then there's other ones that people might not know, like Chip Kinman from Rank and File, or Terry Graham, who played in the Gun Club and stuff like that. So we get a chance to shine a light on some people, but singers and, you know, musicians that people might not know.
Was this?
And, and then it goes into the whole legacy part of the book, which is another kind of angle that we took.
And what was it? What was it? Was the scene at that time? You know, or even before when you first started? You know, like the years before you got signed at Elektra. What was the scene like then? Was it supportive? Were people sleeping on other people's couches? Was there competitive stuff happening? What was it like?
Oh, it was a really tight community.
Yeah,
and people had to help each other because there was no outside help. You know, it was a very DIY. Scene, and I'm sure you experienced that in Chicago with certain groups, you know, at certain times, and I'm sure that Wilco and the people surrounding them and the bands that came up with the Bloodshot label, they all had to work together because they didn't have a lot of outside support. But
yeah,
you know, as time goes on, the scene gets bigger, and so things can branch out. And that's kind of what this book deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, the first 3 years, I mean, everybody had to help each other because nobody had any dough, and that was part of the deal, is you wanted to live a bohemian lifestyle, and that didn't mean you made a lot of money. So screw it. You know, let's just do this thing because everybody says we can't.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. The only thing that I've come close to personally is I did many years of theater here in Chicago and storefront theater, directing and acting and writing and stuff. And it was a tight knit mm-hmm. community. That was one of those deals where you're not making any money. You know, 60 people are coming to see a show that you put up, and then
right.
you know, but you get help from everybody, volunteers, people, friends. It's a very tight knit community in terms of that artistic world.
Yeah, and it's a it's kind of a creative explosion when that happens, and you can't really force it. It just sort of, who knows?
Yeah.
if you could predict that, then you'd be a multi mogul mogul. A mogul's mogul.
That's it. Yeah. The book is called More Fun in the New World. And it's got tons of great stories, contributed by people who were there at that time in the scene, great artists and so on and so forth. John, hang on. Okay.
All right,
John Doe is with us. He is a legend. X is playing tomorrow night, Wednesday, June 26th, at City Winery. They've been around since 1977, and it's amazing that all the original members are back, are together, and they're performing tomorrow night. And if you've never seen the band, you should. When we come back, we'll talk more about the book. We'll talk about John's solo records as well. And then we got to get into the acting, because he's been in some television shows and some movies that are near and dear to my heart. So we'll get into that right after we take a break here. More with John Doe after this on 720 WEGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your Tuesday morning drive. Two for Tuesday, get your requests in, 312-981-7200. We are talking with John Doe, who is one of the founders, singer, bass player for the legendary band X. He's got a book out. The latest one is called More Fun in the New World, on the Unmaking and Legacy of L.A. Punk. And it is a tremendous book. And we want to welcome John back to the show. John, welcome back, man.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of the pictures that are in this book. I want to mention that really quickly. There are two sections of pictures that are just fantastic. Were those from people's personal collection and stuff?
Mostly from the photographer's collections. There's a couple on the inside of Pleasant Gaiman's chapter and a few others. But mostly from, there were some legit photographers that were real, Ouija-like, shoot on the fly and document the scene. Ed Culver and Laura Levine and Ann Suma and, spread out all over.
It's some of the great pictures. They really do capture that time. And they're really beautiful pictures. They're all great. There's a great picture here. The first picture that's in the picture section is of Angela Moore and Jane Wiedlin at an IRS record party. Two of my favorite people. I made the mistake of dropping Angela Moore when he stage dove. I dropped him through my friend and I dropped him through a table. I felt terrible about it, but it was at the Vic Theater here in Chicago, and he went right through the table. We thought we had him, and then boom, he went right through the table and then got right back up and jumped back up on stage.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
the funny thing is that we just played in Kansas City, and who did I call up? Oh, I was talking to somebody doing a book thing, and they said, I mentioned that because Fishbone is also in the book.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a conversation with Angelo and Norwood.
Yeah.
And I said, and by the way, people, if Fishbone is playing, go see them, because they are still amazing. And Angelo is like 110%. He doesn't know any different speed.
Yeah.
When he's off stage, then it's like 98%.
Right.
But anyway, and the guy says, oh, they're opening for George Clinton tonight in Kansas City. And it's like, God, freaking,
what's
the luck?
Oh.
So yeah, we had to play, and they played, but we texted back and forth.
Yeah. Fishbone's one of the best live bands I've ever seen. They're just the energy is absolutely insane. I love those guys. Always have. Incredible.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
Great stuff. And there are stories about that and many other artists in the book, More Fun in the New World, which is available right now. And again, you can see X tomorrow. You excited about it? Have you ever played City Winery before, Joe? John?
I think we played. I think we did the album series like 4 or 5 years ago. We did a few cities where we played all four records, the first four records, in four different nights.
Oh, cool.
I think we did that at City Winery.
Yeah, it's a great space.
And awesome. And actually, I played there. That was in Boston. Never mind.
Okay.
there's another city wine, a new City Winery in Boston.
Okay, got it.
But yeah.
All right. Tell me about the solo records. You enjoy doing that?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's more of a labor of love, and not that playing with X isn't, but and actually we're working on some new music with X, so hopefully that'll be out next year.
Oh, that's very, very cool.
Who would have thunk it?
I wanted to, there's this legendary movie that you guys appear in, and it's, of course, Decline of the Western Civilization. Penelope Spheres put that together. Can you tell me about being a part of that?
Well, it was sort of the transition. It came out in, I think, 82 or maybe 80, middle of 81.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the transition between, like, what was the original, very eclectic and tight-knit community, and then the more violent and kind of negative hardcore scene. Which was just an extension of what we had already started.
Yeah.
And, at the time, though, we had hoped that that the original scene would be captured on film. But in retrospect, it's a really good time capsule.
Yeah.
At the time, we were wishing that more bands that were represented what we originally started would have been represented. But it's a crazy movie. I mean, there's some really great performances, and they had a great crew and great filming and good editing. So you really get a good idea of what happened at the time.
Yeah, it's a classic movie, and I love the follow up, The Metal Years. That I find extraordinarily entertaining.
I couldn't bring myself to watch that.
No, I understand, but it's a goof. I mean, it really captures that weird time period there in the late '80s with the hair metal and everything, pretty perfect.
I bet.
Yeah,
I bet.
Transitioning into acting, how did that happen for you, John?
Oh, there was an agency that booked X, and they had a theatrical division, and so I would give Allison Anders, who also contributed to this book, the main credit, because she did a movie called Border Radio, and she used a bunch of musicians as actors, and she asked if I'd be in it, and it was rewarding. So I, did a few small movies, and then I got cast in this movie with Harry Dean Stanton. And I was doing some scenes with him, and I realized I was getting so left in the dust.
Yeah.
I took some classes, and I did some improv and stuff like that, and got a little bit more. Got up to speed a little bit.
Well, you have appeared in some of my favorite movies and some legendary stuff. Man, Roadhouse, John, you're in Roadhouse.
Yes, I am. The most expensive B movie ever made.
Yeah. You know why I love that movie? For many, many, many reasons. I love it because it was co-written by a woman and directed by a man named Rowdy, and that's the movie. And what was it like working on?
It shows that you are very in touch with your 13-year-old self.
That's exactly
right. And I guess that's a good and a bad thing. I think it's good to be.
Yeah.
It was just insane. It was like, oh, what's going to blow up today?
Yeah.
What's going to get wrecked today?
Right.
How many cars are going to get wrecked? How many things are going to explode? And how many fight scenes are there going to be? But it was great. I mean, to just be part of it and watch all that stuff go on. It was insane. I'm working a little bit on writing a memoir, and Roadhouse is definitely a full chapter.
Yeah, I would imagine. There's some stories. Yeah. Let me give you a quick aside, John. This is one of my favorite connections to Roadhouse. Kelly Lynch, who's obviously in the film, husband is really, really good friends with Bill Murray. He's a screen.
Oh, yes. I know about this.
You know the story? He calls him up
every time. Yeah. Every time his wife is having sex with Patrick Swayze.
It's the best, one of my favorite stories of all time.
Like I said, 13-year-old boy. Right?
Yeah, yeah. You are also, I want to mention one more movie here that's from my favorite filmmaker. My favorite filmmaker is Paul Thomas Anderson. And I love your scene in Boogie Nights, man. What was it like to work on that?
I was just there for a day, so I was in and out, and no pun intended. Paul Thomas Anderson had a real vision, and he had a color palette for what happened when, like I was in the brown period and before that was in the like blue and yellow period. And, it's an incredible script and really well put together. And a lot of people will say, oh, you're the a-hole that is in the movie. And it's like, no, I am not. I'm actually the good guy.
Yeah.
Who's trying to protect this kid from, a pretty sketchy group of people.
Yeah.
But the thing that Paul did is that he made you identify so much with his lead characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I made, I made Julianne Moore cry. So I was a jerk.
Right. Right.
And I was being closed down. I was being like very specific, and they were all, I think the scene before is like, Heather Graham and Julianne Moore like snorting coke,
yeah,
and her asking her if she could call her mommy.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you were only there on the one day. You only were there on the set one day. You only shot that one day. Man, when you saw the movie, were you like, oh my God? I mean, it had to be like,
oh no, I had read the script, and I actually thought the script was even better than the movie. But I mean, just because I, you know, maybe my imagination went wild or something. But you know, the script wasn't quite as you know, graphic. It didn't have all. I mean, it mentioned sex scenes and stuff like that, but you didn't really, you know, imagine it the way it is. So it was bigger on the screen, but actually the story was kind of cooler on the page. But I knew what was happening, and it was but you know, Mark Wahlberg was just kick ass in that.
Yeah,
you know,
he was great.
He was something else.
A great performance.
He was really good.
Great performance.
Yeah.
Listen, man, it's been a real honor talking to you, man. And I admire everything you do. I admire everything you do, from the writing to the acting to the music. And it's just been it's a real pleasure to have you on. You guys are playing tomorrow night, X, at the City Winery, Wednesday, June 26th. Go to citywinery.com for more information. And More Fun in the New World is available right now in bookstores everywhere and online. John, real pleasure, man. Have a great time in Chicago when you get here.
Thank you, Nick. We'll see you out and about.
Okay, take care, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye. John Doe, everybody. That was pretty cool. All right. Yeah, every once in a while, you know, we get a guest on that's an absolute legend, and that was just one of them right there. The book is called More Fun in the New World. It's available now, and X is playing at City Winery tomorrow night. Okay, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with the news after this.